How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Man, the weather yesterday was beautiful. To steal a line from Jim Carrey and Bruce Almighty. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Unfortunately, looks like it's probably going to rain a lot this week. Had some of my wife's family in town over the weekend. They were in some competition at Municipal Auditorium, and they were staying at the house, and they said there's been a lot. Well, I saw the pictures. A lot of flooding in Alabama. A lot.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Like, bad.
Yeah, I've seen that on the news.
I had not. I was unaware of it. So I guess they've had a lot of flooding in Alabama. But we've got a lot of stuff to get into today. Going to talk to Belmont's athletic director, Scott Corley, in the next segment. Talk about them punching their ticket into the NCAA tournament. First team to do so. How about that? I think there's been now five teams that know they're in. Is that right?
What a great game that was, by the way.
Yeah.
Just fantastic.
Hard to believe.
Start to finish.
I didn't realize that was the first time they'd won since 2015. You just always kind of, I know last year they got at large, but 2015 was the last time they won the OVC tournament. I didn't know they'd ever gone that long without winning that tournament.
Murray State is good every year.
I know. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It took everything they had to win that game. What a classic.
That's a home game for Murray State. Who's kidding who?
It was a great crowd for Murray State. That's always the case. Murray State inched ahead late. I'm rooting for Belmont. I thought there were three calls that were bad calls that went against Belmont. There were swing calls that I thought might have been the difference. I thought the fourth foul on Musinski was just that he might have breathed on him. Huge call in the game. Their best inside player has got to come out of the game on that play. There was a play where Adam Kunkel, was on our show not long ago, drives to the basket, scores, mm-hmm. foul, and somehow they call foul on the floor. When do they ever do that? Instead of getting two and possibly 3 points, they have to take the ball out and they don't score. And then they called a travel on him, which was ridiculous. Who calls traveling now? Even in the college?
The NBA doesn't.
No.
We know that.
But in college, I mean, on that particular play, you got to look very close to think it's even close to a travel. I don't know, but they got it done. It's all good. But, man, that was classic. The backdoor play for the game winning, wasn't that artistically, like the artistic judge in the figure skating would give it the top score?
Scott Hamilton would do that?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah. Hey, they got it done.
What a game.
And something we talked about on Friday with Willie's Brackets. Willie Brackets.
That's your name. Willie Brackett.
Willie Brackets.
I like that.
Somebody was going to lose, and that's going to push somebody out. And San Diego State lost.
They lost.
And that's pushing somebody out.
Yep.
Because San Diego State, that's just in, they're still getting in the tournament. But Utah State just stopped somebody else. From
crushed
getting
dreams.
In an at-large bid.
Yeah. We have shrinkage on the bubble.
A little shrinkage.
The other one is, I wonder, Northern Iowa.
Mm-mm.
Northern Iowa lost too. Far and away the best team in the Missouri Valley. Bradley ends up winning the tournament. Northern Iowa loses in the quarterfinals, which is not good.
Got crushed. They didn't just lose. They lost by like 22.
So what happens to them? Remember this happened in the middle a few years ago. They had an unbelievable regular season.
Kermit Davis under Kermit last year.
And they got hosed.
It's had hit. It's why I honestly feel like it played, into him saying, I love middle, but I'm leaving. If I don't win the tournament, I can't get in. So that's what I have to face every year. Win the tournament or you're out. He's like, I'm out. I want to go somewhere where I don't have to be perfect and I can still get in the NCAA tournament. I mean, look, I get it. It was still an SEC job and he probably would have taken it anyway. I get that. But I think it made it a little bit easier for him. I did. I think he had a bad taste in his mouth, especially with their body of work, what they had done the previous 2 years. I know it's not based on the past, but how many times have you heard me say this on this show? It's still the human element. It's human beings in there. Don't tell me the past doesn't play in. It does. They're humans, okay? And Middle was 2 years removed from being the story in the NCAA tournament. The story. It's like one of the biggest upsets in NCAA tournament history. When they show the real, that will always be in there. Just like the Music City Miracle, you know, pick the sport with, you know, the iconic upset or game that's always going to make the real. That will always make the upset real.
Sure.
Always. And so I'm sure he was crushed by that. Like, are you kidding me? And I just, like I said, I think he probably would have taken it anyway, but it probably just made it a little bit easier to say, you know what? The heck with this.
So Northern Iowa's 23-6, league champion in the regular season. All year long, they've been darlings. Hey, what a great year. And then, boom, they lose this game. And it always happens. From Monday through Saturday, you'll see them floating around on that last four in, first four out. And then they'll get hosed, I think. I think they'll probably get hosed. They only have one quadrant, one win. That will be used against them, even though they have solid ratings. So I think they could get shrunk.
So I have this question. Joe Lunardi has his studio where he has his big board. Do you have like a dry erase board in your house that you have put somewhere?
No, you've seen his dry erase board.
His folders?
On Fridays.
The manila folder.
Manila folders. And I used to call them vanilla folders.
Yeah.
Because I thought they were called vanilla folders.
I'm with John Madden and Al Davis, the manila folder. That's what they used to bring to the draft.
Oh, I know exactly where you got the manila folder from. I know where you got that idea from. I've seen that in action. Like we all have.
Yes. Yes, we have.
But hey, whatever works. Whatever works for you.
Did you or did you not steal the manila folder idea from someone we used to work with?
No.
No?
No.
Who used to do all their charts on manila folders?
I don't think that person did manila folders. He had his own little chart.
Really?
Yeah, a folder. I can explain.
Okay.
I've seen him use manila folders.
He had a printout that he would go to the copier and make a bunch of copies. It was
He knew how to do that?
Oh, yeah. Well, he knew how to make copies.
Get somebody
the original.
To get
he was smart enough never to throw the original out and keep making copies.
Like, so he has the same. He knew how to print.
He had the same charts for both sports, all sports. I'm more just straight up. I write everything down. Most people do the computer thing. He wrote them down, but he had a printout sort of a guide that looks neater than mine. So everybody has their own system. But
look, I'm not going to lie. I got a lot of rest this weekend, so I'm feisty. I'm ready to go here on a Monday.
Did you guys watch Lipscomb yesterday?
Yeah.
No. Too bad.
A little bit.
Nope.
Liberty, they weren't going to lose that
game.
What
time was that game?
2:00.
Yeah, we were on the baseball field.
Liberty hit everything. Everything from the outside. Just red hot. 2-3 steps behind the three-point line. But they had the place rocking, and they pretty much had it sealed at the half. But a great first year, I think, for Lenny Acuff, for Lipscomb, especially the second half of the season. Now he's got things moving in the right direction. He's got his best player back next year. So I think he has done a good job, I think, in the transition. But Liberty, watch out. I don't know where they're going to seed them. They were 12 seed last year and won a game. I'm curious where they're seated and where Lipscomb is seated. I mean, sorry, where Belmont is seated. I would start doing the math. Like, where do you seed Belmont? Ahead of Bradley? Ahead of Winthrop? Like, I'm hoping Belmont gets...
What's the highest they've ever been?
The highest? You mean, like, the lowest?
Or lowest,
highest?
Yeah.
Has Belmont been a 12? I think they've been a 12 before.
They were an 11 last year, weren't they? Because they were in the first four.
Oh, yeah, because they were in the first four. Well, that was the trade-off. They had to be in the first four, but they were an 11. So, technically... So which is better, be a 12 in
the
first?
Can I just say I don't understand that at all, why they have 11s or whatever be the playing, I still call them the playing games, but why you wouldn't just make that the 16 seeds?
They are the 16 seeds in the one
right, well, okay, or the...
It's the last four. It's for the last four at-larges.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Which has often meant a long run for whoever emerges from that, right?
Yeah,
there's been a team that has emerged sometimes all the way to the Final Four.
VCU did it. The first year that it was ever implemented, VCU went first four to Final Four.
Yep. So we'll see. I don't think Belmont will be in that group this year. Especially, well, they can't be because they won their league. They'll get the automatic bid. So the question is 12, 13, 14. Some people were saying 15. I got to believe 14 worst. I think.
Yeah. Oh, I'd be stunned if they were 15. Even though most of the year, Lenardi had the OVC winner at about that 15 range, you got to think with Belmont's like recent history, too, and with the way they've been playing lately, that it's at least a 13.
The strength of schedule is not good for Belmont, and no quad one wins. So that's what I'm concerned about. But, boy, they look good on Saturday.
We will talk to their AD coming up next, Scott Corley.
We'll get an opinion. He might be a little biased, but
well,
he was right in it. But we'll get his. He usually has a pretty good feel for this. He's studying this. What seed?
SEC tournament comes to town starting Wednesday night. We'll be over there Thursday and Friday at Bridgestone Arena doing our show. So SEC tournament, men's basketball tournament in our city, and we're excited about that starting Wednesday night. But next up, Scott Corley. On Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, that's the music you're going to hear on Sunday. We find out who's going where and who's playing who. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Let's head over to the campus at Belmont. It should be a very happy place today. We welcome in their AD, Scott Corley. Scott, how you doing?
Man, doing great. Obviously a much better feeling this year on Monday than it was last year.
A little bit less sweating this Sunday, huh?
No doubt. It's good to know you're definitely going in, and obviously you're anxious to see what the seed's going to be and where they're going to send you, but it is definitely a nice feeling knowing that you punched your ticket.
No doubt. In your opinion, Scott, who's the better coach, Rick Byrd or Casey Alexander? I'm kidding.
You are not doing that.
Off the top rope to start.
it's going to be one of those interviews. I see. No, yeah. I'm kidding. How cool was it to have Rick in the house on Saturday night, though, to watch that happen?
It was great. It was great. I'm not surprised that he was there, and I know he takes so much pride in this program. And look, he recruited all those kids, and then obviously to see Casey, someone that has meant a lot to Rick, and obviously he's mentored, and you still got Brian Ayers and Tyler Holloway from that he worked with for so many years. So it was great to have him in the house. It was great to see him, get his usual emotional self, and but you could tell he was very, very proud of Casey and the team.
As you know, Scott, because we talked to you leading up to the NCAA tournament, I think the day of or the day before, and so kind of we went through the journey with you. I boldly predicted you guys were going to win your first NCAA tournament game, which always has Willie going, oh my gosh, would you stop doing that stuff?
I'm rolling my eyes right now.
Stop doing that. But in all seriousness, what can a win going to finally getting that gorilla, elephant, whatever that, you know, whatever that weight was, to finally have that lifted and to have some of these kids that went through that, how can that help them moving forward, going in again?
Well, I think it helps a lot. I mean, I think, you know, it gives you the confidence to know that you've done it. You've done it on the big stage, and, you know what it's like. You know the pressure-packed feeling of that, of what that situation brings. And so to have a lot of those guys back that live that can only help you build upon it. And, you know, so they know what to expect. They should be prepared. You know, obviously, you know, this year will be a little different. I don't see us in the play-in game. I think we'll, we'll play either Thursday or Friday. And so I think it'll be a little different. You know, last year was just so condensed, so compact, you almost didn't even have time to think about it.
Yeah.
And then you get that win on that Tuesday night, and it was like, gosh, catch a plane, get down to Jacksonville, and just ride the wave as long as you can. So it's a great experience to have in your back pocket if you're Grayson, Kunkel, Musinski, and those guys that went through it.
Give me the AD's perspective. What does success in basketball, what did last year, now the opportunity to do it again, and all the success that Rick Bird had over the years in building this program up to what it is today, where, quite honestly, it's more of an upset if the team isn't playing the NCAA tournament than if they're in it. What does that brand do for your job, for the coaches, you know, that have to recruit, and just the awareness of Belmont and where they are and what they're all about?
Well, I mean, obviously winning builds, you know, hopefully further success, and it just builds upon itself, you know. And at the end of the day, Darren, I mean, we want to be a great ambassador and representative for the university. And so, you know, when you combine all the exposure that we get by getting into the tournament, that's helping the university, but it also certainly helps our program. I mean, good players want to come to good programs, and to me, the consistency of being good, and that's what we can sell to those recruits, and we can sell to those parents. And so, I mean, it's obviously the position you want to be in. You want, you know, programs coming after us, trying to knock us off. I mean, but it does nothing but obviously enhance the brand, but hopefully it helps the university and all that, you know, we try to do to be a great ambassador for the university and bring in more students to come to campus and just know what, who Belmont University is, where we're located, and what we stand for.
We're talking to Scott Corley, athletic director for Belmont, headed to March Madness again. And Scott, I'm a total nerd when it comes to late game situations and plays, and I know everybody will still be talking about the backdoor layup probably years from now. They've seen it before from Belmont teams, but I was really curious. I don't know if you had a chance to talk to Casey about it, but it was such a chess match. Matt McMahon knows that Belmont's going to come up with a good play from the side out of bounds with eight or nine seconds left in the game. So they called timeout. You know, they changed the formation. I'm just wondering how many times Belmont changed the play between the initial possession and when they actually ran the play.
Yeah, they did change it. I mean, coming out of that first timeout, now they had a different backdoor play, but they were going to run a different set that was going to get a different backdoor play. And, you know, Casey brought in Nick Hopkins, who's a smaller player, to do the inbounds, and I think we had trouble getting it in. And so, obviously, you know, you take the timeout there, which was heads up by Nick. And I think Casey then said, based on how they were looking to defend it, let's go with a different backdoor play. I was sitting there watching as a fan too, Willie. I was like, do you go inside the Musinski, because he was playing so well and scoring so effectively? I thought that may have been part of the design. But, you know, our guys are so well coached. And you know, Willie, it's all about timing. That play works based on timing, and I think it works because Tyler Scanlon was having such a good shooting game from the three-point line that the Murray defender had to play that potential that, as Adam Kunkel's dribbling it over, does Scanlon come around for a handoff and a three? And so when you look at the play, the Murray State player made that slight move, and that's all it takes. And then it was just great timing and a pass and a finish. But, yeah, I think it was original play was going to be a little different. And so, you know, good timeout and good change by Casey.
Another thought that I had is, as I was watching the game, Belmont ends up 5-for-21 from three. And going in, a traditional Belmont team, that would be tough to win, I would say, in a championship game because they have not been as good a defensive team. But I think the defense has really come a long way. I thought they D'd up very well against a very talented Murray State. When I was watching the semifinal, Murray against Austin Peay, I was really wondering in my mind, can they guard Murray? But they did, I thought, a very, very good job in that area.
I agree. I mean, and if you go back to the start of this winning streak, the game we played against Murray here at home is where I really thought we kind of found our defensive identity. I think we held them to 65 points in that game. And then from that point on, I've noticed as well the defense has really played extremely well. And I'm with you. I mean, when you go 5-for-21 from threes, that usually doesn't bode well for us as far as winning a close game. And it was really good to see that we found a different way to win. Obviously, Musinski was huge in the paint, and Tyler Scanlon, what he did. But you're right. I thought down the stretch, we really defended them well. Michael Binker did such a great job on Tevin Brown, who is just an amazing scorer. I mean, Tevin Brown played 40 minutes. He did score 17 points, but on 12 shots, and he had to work for every one of them. So I do think the defensive toughness has only gotten better as the season's gone on. And you know, in these championship tournament-type games, you better be able to defend or else you're gonna have a hard time.
So we were looking at seeds. My son and I were watching a lot of the games yesterday, and we were trying to figure out, you know, teams like Bradley, teams like Winthrop, who won yesterday. Does Belmont have the edge on them? Ratings-wise, I think there's a pretty good argument that they do. But as it all sorts itself out, Scott, you have any thoughts? You want to take a crack at this or where you guys might be seated?
Yeah, and it's only a speculation at this point because you got to obviously wait and see how many more upsets happen, et cetera. I've seen us at a 14 seed, and that's probably where I would predict we would end up. One of the things working against us this year, which is totally opposite versus last year, is our conference RPI or net, I should say. I think we're 29th. So the conference did not have a very good overall year from a non-conference win-loss record. And so that may pull us down a little bit, where last year, obviously, we benefited from having such a good conference net, and that allowed us to get the at-large bid. So, you know, I'm 14. You know, if we can get to 13, that'd be really nice. But as a 14 seed, that's still you're going to play a really good team. I was looking on one of the sites. You know, the three seeds are Duke, Michigan State, Seton Hall, and Villanova. So those would be some interesting matchups. But obviously, we'll go wherever they send us and play whatever seed we are. And I do know the committee has so much data now, Willie, and they really, obviously I had a lot of – I gained a lot of faith in the committee after last year, and I do know they really try to get the seedings right, and they've got a lot of the data that goes into that. So hoping for the best.
We're talking to Scott Corley, the athletic director at Belmont. And on the women's side of things, I know that they had a big overtime win over Austin Peay in the tournament but fell to Southeast Missouri. What are some thoughts there? You think an at-large bid could be possible for the ladies?
Yeah, I don't see that happening in the NCAA. The women ran into a buzzsaw in SEMO. I mean, that was one of the more impressive shooting performances I've witnessed, men or women. You know, for us to score 99 points and still lose by 15 is pretty unheard of. And so, overall, I think UT Martin is a little higher in the RPI rankings. Now, our RPI is good. I mean, it's in the 50s, the last I looked. And so, But I think that's going to be a long shot to get in the NCAA, and we may get an opportunity to play in the WNIT.
I know with everybody being there for the OVC tournament, we talked to Beth DeBush on Friday, and just to watch the growth of that conference over the last several years, you have an awesome venue in Evansville. We miss it here in Nashville. But what are some things that you're able to accomplish getting everybody together there for the OVC tournament as a conference?
Well, first off, it's an amazing venue. And I think it, you know, from a student athlete experience, you couldn't ask for playing in a better venue. You know, I think the city of Evansville has really done a lot to embrace the OVC tournament. They've got a local organizing committee that puts a lot of time and effort into it. Obviously, the Murray fans enjoy traveling there. It always seems like they fill up about 90% of the arena. And, you know, in some ways, you know, the tournament's been, I wouldn't say lucky, but having Belmont Murray in the finals each of the last 3 years while they've all been in Evansville certainly is has helped with attendance. But overall, the city's done a great job, and the venue's just first class.
What's the schedule for Sunday? What's the gathering? What are you guys doing?
We're going to do, a selection show party here at Curb Event Center. I think the doors will open. I think we're talking 4 o'clock. We're still trying to finalize all that. But this year it'll be in the Curb Event Center. In the past, we've done it in the Beeman Center. But I think from a space perspective and just, you know, with our nice video boards and things that we have in the arena now, we're going to do it in there. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to celebrate a great team, a great season, and anxiously await where they send us. So it's always a fun afternoon, and then the real work begins that night, just getting all the logistics worked out.
Good stuff. We appreciate the visit. Congrats, and I'm sure we'll talk soon. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, hope so. Thanks so much, guys, for having me on. Really appreciate it.
That's Scott Corley, Belmont Athletics Director, and indeed they have punched their ticket into the NCAA tournament. And you just heard him say, this year at the Curb Event Center, so a little bit bigger space, and it'll be fun to see how it all plays out on Sunday. We'll come back with more of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Men's basketball tournament starting Wednesday night. Georgia and Ole Miss will tip off the action. That'll be at 6 o'clock. All these games will be on SEC Network. Then the nightcap will be Vanderbilt and Arkansas. That'll be half hour after that game ends, also on SEC Network. Alabama and Tennessee will kick off the action on Thursday at noon. We'll be there doing our show. And that'll be the first game on the docket, Alabama and Tennessee. And then Florida will have the winner of Georgia and Ole Miss. Then in the nightcap on Thursday will be Missouri and Texas A&M, followed by South Carolina having the winner of Vanderbilt and Arkansas. And on Friday when we're there, first game, and all those first two rounds, Wednesday and Thursday, are all on SEC Network. Then the coverage shifts to ESPN. Kentucky and the winner of Alabama-Tennessee is what starts Friday's action at noon, which, you know, that'll be quite the atmosphere on Friday. And then after that will be Mississippi State awaiting the winner of Florida and whoever they played.
I know what two of us will be doing during breaks during that show. We'll be peeking out to see what's going on.
Yeah, well, we'll have TVs and monitors where we are, too.
I know.
So.
But there's something about, you know, peeking out and getting to see it.
No doubt.
So pretty cool.
Yeah.
So Willie, I wish you could be there with us. I know you're going to be on the road. Taking care of business with the Preds.
Off to Montreal.
Good
Montreal.
Times.
Montreal.
I know that Pete Weber really likes the hotel you stay at in Montreal.
It's big time.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
It's a very clean hotel.
It is. I know
great
we'll
facilities.
Hear it.
Great
we'll
facilities.
Get an update.
Great facilities.
Very warm.
I heard he's got an office.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's cool.
In his room. That's why he likes it a lot.
Yeah.
So we talked about the teams that have punched their tickets. Belmont has, we know, no sweating this year for Belmont. Utah State. How about that? They beat San Diego State. They're
big.
In.
Now, they had a that wasn't like an 8 seed winning. They've been a really good team all year. But, man, that was clutch coming up with the win there.
That was. Who else?
Winthrop.
Winthrop.
Got the victory against Hampton, who has been to the tournament many times. Bradley won the Missouri Valley for a second straight year, the Bradley Braves. I believe that's it for yesterday. I believe that's all the automatic.
And Liberty.
Hits. Oh, Liberty. Yeah. Am I missing anybody else?
There's five. I think there's five teams.
Yeah, so that's it. So
there's
Liberty
another
wins.
Game tonight, I believe.
There's a couple.
Games tonight?
There's some important games Ooh. Tonight. So let's start there as we do our little, mini update here. Going for the title tonight is East Tennessee State. Now, that's another team that if they were to lose, they are 29-4. That's a team that if they lost, I would really be rooting for them to get in. I think they probably have a better resume than Northern Iowa, who lost in the quarterfinals. Would you agree?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, ETSU has one really big win, too, because they won at LSU, and they were the first non-conference team to win at LSU in like a couple of years. So that's huge. That's a quad one win on the road.
But a loss to Wofford would not. I mean, that's considered a bad loss.
Yeah, it would, especially if they lose by like 10+. If they lose on maybe like a fluky shot, the way UTC lost to Wofford yesterday, I mean, dude hit a tough shot with 3 seconds left to pull that one out. If they end up winning, like squeaking it out, I could still maybe see ETSU getting a chance just because their metrics are really good. They rank well in pretty much everything.
Remember last year, Wofford won the conference. They had a great year. We had Fletcher McGee on,
yes,
their superstar
did.
Player, the all-time three-point leader in college history. He's not there anymore. He's playing in Europe somewhere right now. So Wofford has done well to get back to the championship. They lost their coach as well, got hired to go somewhere else. They're 19-15, but they were only 8-10 in the Southern Conference. So East Tennessee State, that's one you want to watch tonight.
They're playing that tournament in Asheville, North Carolina, at Harrah's cool. Cherokee Center.
Oh.
We've been to Harrah's in North Carolina.
We have.
Is that
in Cherokee, North Carolina?
Yes, we have.
I'm trying to see if there's
We've
any
walked
other
out happy.
We have.
You guys have some great memories there, don't you?
Yeah, we do.
Wow. That's the only championship tonight. Why is there not a second champ? Where's the doubleheader? Come on, this is championship week. Why? There's a bunch of semifinals.
That game's at 6.
The WCC semifinals will start after that, I believe.
Now, that's the other thing to watch tonight. Gonzaga plays San Francisco. Now, you're sitting there going, San Francisco. San Francisco is pretty good. Gonzaga is a 12.5-point favorite, but San Francisco can hang with Gonzaga. I've watched them play. They actually challenged them during the season.
Took
they?
The lead, yeah. At Gonzaga late in the season, they took a lead into the second half, and then Gonzaga went lights out from three and just went totally unconscious and ended up busting out like a 15-point lead with 10 minutes left.
But if you're one of these bubble teams, you're sitting there going, please, Gonzaga, just do not lose to San Francisco and create chaos here. Then the other semifinal is interesting, too. St. Mary's against BYU. Both of those teams have a very good chance of at-large bids. The one that presumably would get to the championship and then lose to Gonzaga would feel pretty good. I think the loser of this game will be sweating. BYU, a lot of people think, is a shoe-in regardless, even if they were to lose this game. So St. Mary's, fair to say, needs this worse than
BYU. Oh, for sure. Yeah, BYU being ranked right now helps a lot, too, whereas St. Mary's kind of lost. They've been out of the top 25 for a while.
Other things that happened. Purdue loses to Rutgers at home. Purdue is one that was really needing that game right there to get a good argument. Purdue might be the one that gets squeezed here. Memphis had a chance on the national stage to play at Houston and kind of had a dud. Didn't play very well. So I'm not liking their chances at all. Obviously, Tennessee getting whipped took any hope away of them making a late season run. Now,
look,
I think even if they got to the finals of the SEC tournament, I'm not sure that would be enough
at this point. So. I think they'd have to win it.
Rick Barnes was answering questions about the NIT yesterday's press conference.
Yeah.
Saturday at his press conference.
Look, I'm going to say this because we've talked about it a little bit, and I'll bring it up with Vince or somebody will, but there's going to be a conversation now. I mean, I know he's not going to get the axe this year, but he's definitely going into next season with expectations because he's been there 5 seasons. He's made the tournament twice. They're going to miss it this year. And quite frankly, I know they lost a lot. They should have been a tournament team.
Xavier had a tough loss at home against Butler. It was a great game. This kid, what's the kid's name? Baldwin for Butler is a guy that is worth watching. He absolutely single-handedly crushed Xavier to make them sweat a little bit. USC hit a huge buzzer beater against UCLA in a sort of a bubble game in a lot of people's minds. So UCLA is squarely on the bubble, even though if they had won that game, they'd have been the regular season champion in the Pac-12. Stanford also fell short. They need a big win. They've been sagging late in the season. They lose at Oregon, and they lose pretty handily. So I'm not sure where that leaves them. There's a lot of teams really sweating it out. Another team that's sweating a bit is Indiana. I don't know if you guys heard this yesterday. Indiana loses to Wisconsin. Archie Miller had some opinions about bracketologists.
You know, if you watch Sesame Street and you listen to all the characters on Sesame Street talk, and everyone gets all under, it's like, well, if you watch Sesame Street and you listen to the guys on Sesame Street, it's a children's show. Every bracketology is a children's show. When I was in the Atlantic 10, Joe Lunardi was my best friend. He used to help me all the time. When I went to Indiana, he needed to crap on Indiana the other day just so people would watch Sesame Street. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Go back to the trash can.
Archie Miller. Wow. Like, he thinks that's funny?
Sesame Street.
I didn't really find that.
Yeah,
funny.
I didn't.
It's, it's kind of, you know, silly.
You can't, you know, what's he doing? What's the point?
I don't know.
You think that's going to help you?
I don't know why everybody's laughing.
Everybody?
Was that fake laughing? Was that uncomfortable?
I think it was
laughing?
Kind of a nervous, uncomfortable, yeah. Like,
I just didn't
awkward
think it was
laugh.
That funny.
Like, should I laugh? Like, what's he doing? He had this whole thing. He went into it. He made this lobby in the middle of those two clips, was saying, well, our strength of record is this. Our strength of schedule. The Big Ten is so strong. There's really nothing wrong with doing that. But you're going to get on Joe Lunardi, who took it very well, by the way. He wrote, even in his blog, Joe Lunardi's latest, here's who's the last four in. By the way, he still has Indiana in. So I don't know what Archie's mad about, right? Most people still, I think, have Indiana in. It's such a tough league, which is a point well taken. So why is he getting all defensive? And then the dump on Joe Lunardi, who works his tail off,
yeah,
right?
I mean,
say what you want about Joe. You know, you can disagree with Joe.
Indiana's first or last four in.
Yeah. Well, what so. I've said is for many years about Joe is, and I don't know, I've never met him. He's one person's opinion, right? Anybody could be Joe Lunardi. We have access to the same data as he does. He's getting paid tons of money to do what he does. But he doesn't know more than anybody else. It's not like he has inside knowledge
like
of what
Matthew
the committee.
Berry. It's the same deal.
Yeah,
he just happens to be the face of fantasy football
right.
for ESPN.
But it's not,
good for
it's
him.
It's not like the committee is whispering to Joe Lunardi, "Hey, Joe, this is what you need to say because this is what's going on inside our room." He doesn't have that, but he is very good at sifting through all the data that the committee does look at. He's very educated, and he makes an educated guess. And most of the time, he might miss one of the field, because when it comes down to the last couple of teams in, it is just a toss of the coin. It's so hard to separate the last, depending on the year, two or three spots. But Archie Miller, what?
I
don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get, like, it's not funny. Sesame Street?
Mm-mm.
Please. I mean, that was ridiculous. Ridiculous. So there's a look at the bubble. But
Too bad we don't have the list today.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
He would be on the list.
He would be on the list.
It's not like people dump on Indiana because it gets views for Sesame Street, as I throw up some air quotes. They do it because you've brutally underachieved with like one of the most talented rosters in the Big Ten every year. So maybe if that didn't happen.
Or there's that.
Yeah, there's that minor detail there that he forgot to mention.
Mm. All right, we'll come back and put a bow on the first hour here on this Monday. We do that next. Talk to Vince Ferrara. We do that every Monday at high noon. And man, Tennessee just got walloped. Look, we had pick six. I took Auburn because Bruce Pearl, what did I say? My exact words.
He has just
wreaked
that one.
Havoc on Tennessee since he left. And he did so again.
Jeez. 22, won by 22, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tennessee had that one run in the second half. I think they got it down to 5 or 6, and then Auburn just pulled away.
And in doing so, you know, with the loss by Tennessee, Arkansas is still, they can't get it together. Florida had the huge lead against Kentucky, a great comeback win for Kentucky, but Florida still is safe, I think, getting into the tournament. But if you look at it now, going into the SEC tournament this week here in Nashville, the league is begging for a fifth team to try to make a run, but the league is staring right in the face having just 4 teams get into the tournament. Maybe Mississippi State could be talented enough to make a run if they won 2 or 3 against the right teams. They could make an argument, but yikes.
How do you think Florida fans feel about Mike White?
Having grown up in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and people say, well, what about Willie? I thought you said grew up in New York. Well, I moved to Florida when I was 12, so my teenage years were in Orlando.
Your statues are in Florida.
Statues? There are no statues. Florida fans are interested if you're playing for a championship or if you have a chance to win the national title. And they kind of are only interested if that's the case. They're not into basketball in a, solid team, man. We're going to be in the NCAA tournament. There's just not a big, big chunk of Florida fans like that. There's some. But the masses, they're not paying attention unless you're really, good. Really good. Mm-hmm. Really good.
Billy Donovan good.
Yeah. And now they've been spoiled by that area, mm-hmm. That era. And so now I think they just have kind of, they're not paying attention. Like, I don't know how many people even care enough to say, well, we got to get another coach who's more like Billy Donovan.
I guess, you know, I'm getting at is,
because he's been,
I wonder what
solid.
The changes are going to be, because we were talking about team. Elijah came in and Elijah was working the game with me on Saturday, and Texas got walloped at home. I mean, they got drilled. And Shaka Smart, for all the, that was the home run hire, which, how would you not think that for his body of work and what he had done at VCU? And everybody was like, yep, that makes sense. Now he goes to the big boy school, and let's be honest, he's done diddly at Texas. He really hasn't moved the meter at all. A program with all the facilities and all the money. I guess what I'm getting at is there's a guy out there, so, and I brought this up to you guys, who's going to be the first to the John Beilein race? Like, somebody's going to hire. I get it. He's in his upper 60s.
Yeah, but
someone's going to hire
successful.
Him. He has been, right. Yeah. I mean, look at his body of work at Michigan. They were a powerhouse when he was there.
It was a head-scratcher for him to leave, in my opinion. I get it. I guess he had dreams of coaching the NBA. But
did he? Or was there something what was the real?
He lasted half a season.
What was the real? No, he.
Oh, I read something where he was having second thoughts about taking the Cavaliers job during training camp. Mm. Like, he realized
but
awfully
what was
quick.
Do we know the real story?
No,
was there friction
not.
Behind the scenes?
Oh, yeah.
Right? There was something going on.
The Athletic did a really good job of reporting on it. There was one film session where he was trying to tell the guys they were playing like a bunch of slugs, but came out as you're playing like a bunch of thugs.
Oh, yeah. No. I know the Cavs. I'm talking about Michigan.
Oh, Michigan. Oh,
like, why did he really leave? Was it just a money grab?
Had to have been either that or I'm like Chase. I think he might have just had dreams of playing.
Okay.
Of coaching.
I mean, I've seen that he wanted to see if he could do it. But
when you had built up a power like that, like you're a machine. Why would you walk away from that at your age when you've built it up to a power? I mean, Michigan basketball every year was right there. Well, are they going to be a 1 seed? Are they going to be a 2 seed? A 3 seed? You know, They were always right in the thick of things. Even when there's years we thought they were off years, they'd make a run in the tournament. So that's why I'm asking about Mike White. Is there going to be big programs that go, look, we could come back again with our coach, but if we could get John Beilein, like, do we pull the trigger on that?
But okay, let's be fair to Mike White, though.
Okay.
All right. They've won at least one game in the tournament for 3 consecutive years, and they got to the Final 8. In 2018. So it's not like he's chopped liver.
No,
right?
that was not the 2018. It was the year before that. It was his second year there.
It was the year they played South Carolina.
2017. First year they didn't even make the tournament.
2017.
Then his first time in the tournament.
2017,
they
lost to South Carolina that would have gotten them to the Final Four. And South Carolina.
That was
made
the
it.
South Carolina team. They got the Greenville. Right. You know, they got seated in Greenville. They beat Duke and they made their magical run.
2018, they.
It was all because of Matt Figger.
2018, they beat St. Bonaventure in the first round and then lost to Texas Tech. And then last year, they beat Nevada in the first round as a 10 seed and then lost to Michigan. So you can't make a change on that. I'm sorry. They're going to make it again for a fourth straight year. I mean, how many programs do that? You could probably count on.
Yeah, but it's Florida. I mean, that's what I'm getting.
Well, okay.
You just said it. They're
but
spoiled.
But you can't fire the coach based on that. You know what I mean? Like, getting the attention of the Florida fans, that probably doesn't do it for you, right? I saw some of their crowds. I mean, it's not.
No, there's nobody there.
They don't have great crowds down there. Because, like you said, they had that era, 06, 07, when they won back-to-back, and they had Billy Donovan. They had a little more sizzle back then, and Mike White doesn't have the sizzle, but he's a good coach.
I'm not lobbying for him to get, but are they in love with him? Are they enamored by Mike White? I mean, is there buzz about
it's not Billy
Florida
Donovan.
Basketball? There's nothing. That's what I'm getting at. There's really not much there. I mean, how many fans are they going to bring here?
Well, don't you think there was a little bit of that with Tubby Smith to a degree? On a different level.
Where are you talking about?
At Kentucky, Tubby Smith won a lot of games. Right, and he won the title the first year, but it was always Tubby. You know, there wasn't a love of Tubby.
I don't know.
On that level, I'm talking about with the interest of the fans and the expectations. When you follow Patino, he followed Patino.
Tubby did not subscribe to big time talent. Like Tubby always had his ways of getting his recruits, his type of players. And that's fine at the other stops that he had. But at Kentucky, that doesn't fly, man. They were used to Jamal Mashburn and Antoine Walker and all those cats rolling through there. And
right.
Tubby Smith comes in, and he's getting a different type of recruit.
Florida's got some of that? They haven't had the
right, yes.
The sizzle. They haven't had.
No doubt.
Billy Donovan has a lot more sizzle than Mike White.
He had the
big-time
recruits.
Mike White is a really good coach.
Noah came in. I mean, we know. Yeah. We don't need to go through the list. But
well, that's the comparison I'm making. You know, obviously the Florida fan base in basketball is nothing close to the fan base in Kentucky with interest level. But relatively, right, just to get anybody's attention in Gainesville, Billy Donovan got that for a while.
Yes.
Mike White is still searching to try to get that, even though his team's been rock solid.
But I don't know
really
you
solid.
Can search for like 5 years. You know, like it's not going to magically
but they've
just
made the tournament
either
four
you
straight
have
years.
Them or you don't. Yeah, but Florida's standard is not. With all due respect, their standard is not getting in the NCAA tournament.
It's actually doing something with it.
But they've won a game in the tournament for three straight years.
Well, yeah, but I mean, what was that? The four versus
but they've also won
titles.
Okay,
but no, we just said in 2017 they got to the Final Eight. That how many coaches would like to have that on their resume? Tons.
Yeah, but there was a standard set. I mean, when you and everybody
has the standard. Indiana has the standard.
I know those teams were loaded.
Think that's what we just got done talking about. Why do you think Archie Miller's losing his mind?
Because
they're
he
all
realizes
over him. Yeah,
it's a brutal job,
and they've had a long run of nothing close to what they would love to have. What Florida has done the last 3 years, they would love it.
Mm-hmm.
They're nowhere close to that.
Yep, it's very true.
So everybody has standards, right?
But Vanderbilt what do we always say?
Standards.
You don't want to be the guy who follows the guy, right?
Right.
Yeah, but he followed the guy. There's
no
way they're contemplating making a move there. But Beeline is going to be sought after by some people, right?
I'm saying if you pulled Florida fans into a room and said John Beeline or Mike White, I think you'd be floored at the answer.
It's an interesting question. I do wonder.
In a private
just
room,
because,
said write down on paper White or Beeline and see what they say.
Let's also say that about 50% of Florida football fans would not have an idea who John Beeline is.
Probably so.
Wouldn't even know.
You laid it out perfectly.
Yeah.
They are just if they're winning, I'm interested and I'm going. If they're not, no interest. That's what Florida basketball fan is.
Yeah.
Which means what? They're going to bring how much to Nashville?
None.
Virtually nothing.
They'll have no presence at all
here. Virtually nothing to Nashville.
And they're going to be in the NCAA tournament. They're going to be in the NCAA tournament again.
Yeah, they will. We'll come back. Andrew Brandt from MMQB. We'll talk to Andrew next to kick off hour number two. Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.